the Junior League of Cincinnati formed Refugee Connect to help refugees after their initial 90-day period of resettlement. These newcomers need assistance to find transportation, ongoing language translation, and education to get connected to the society at large. Beyond that, the goal is to foster community acceptance and inclusion and to construct a sustainable support system. Refugee Connect aims to bring refugees, their stories, and issues that they face out of isolation and into the awareness of the entire community. To discuss the place of refugees in Greater Cincinnati, I'm joined by Refugee Connect Executive Director Robin Steiner-Lamont, Board President Mirsada, there we go, Ms. Mirsada,
yes,
Kadirik, and intern Tika Atikare.
That's right.
Well, close enough. Okay. Who is also the co-founder of the University of Cincinnati Bhutanese American Student Organization. If you'd like to join the conversation, please call us at 513-419-7100 or email talk@wvxu. Welcome to Cincinnati Edition. It's really good to have you here today. Robin, I want to direct sort of a broad question to you. There's a lot of discussion right now going on about immigration in various guises and forms. What is – refugee is a technical term. What does refugee mean in a legal and political sense?
Sure. Thanks so much for the question, Dan, and thank you for having us on the show. So refugee is a designation in the United States. It's a global definition that means someone fleeing persecution based off of race, religion, political opinion, nationality in a certain group. And in the United States, a refugee is a designation for someone who's gone through a legal vetting process. Actually, the most secure person to enter the United States is a traveler. It includes FBI and CIA background checks, biometric screenings, and other processes before folks arrive in the United States. And refugees are invited here on a legal pathway towards citizenship when they come.
So I thank you very much. I want to be clear that this is a totally legal status processed by the government, recognized by the government in a much more intensive way than even other formal immigration processes. So this isn't just – you can't lump all of the discussion here around refugees. And I think the terms get mixed up a lot. I'd like to hear some personal stories and just simply because I think it makes it real. Mirsada, you're from Bosnia originally, or Yugoslavia, I guess, when you were born as a child.
Yes.
And can you tell us, coherently, briefly, what your personal story is, how you became a refugee and how long you've been here in the United States?
Yes. Again, to echo Robin's comments, thank you for having us on the show.
Happy to.
Much appreciated. Yes, my name is Mirsada Kadirik, and I was born in Bosnia, which at the time when I was born there was part of the broader Yugoslavian Federation, alongside four other countries, Slovenia, Croatia, Serbia, and Montenegro. And then, as fate would have it, each of the countries wanted to be independent in their own way. And as that process began, that's when conflict erupted. So back in 1992 is when the war in Bosnia started officially. I was 10 years old. And it was quite a long story. I can't get into all of the details, but both, first my father was put into a concentration camp, followed by my mom and I as well. We were eventually...
But different camps.
Yes, different camps. We were kept separate from the men. The women and children were. And then eventually we got released. We were one of the lucky ones, to be honest. And through much luck, we managed to escape the country via taxi overnight. And we had family who lived outside of the country at the time before the war. And so my dad had a brother and my mom had a brother who lived in Slovenia who helped us get out and get started as refugees initially in Slovenia. Following there, we actually then spent 5.5 years being refugees in Switzerland, where we also had family who helped us get there and get at least a temporary living situation. But it wasn't until we were given the opportunity to come to the United States as war refugees under this premise of having the opportunity to become citizens within a certain amount of time.
And you came, you arrived in?
I arrived in Florence, Kentucky, well, at the Cincinnati Airport, which is located in Kentucky. And I was 16 years old when I came here.
And I'm sure you had studied closely about Cincinnati before you got here, right? You just sort of, there you were, right?
Not at all. There I was. Actually, the only, I always tell people, the only thing I ever knew about the United States was through the show Beverly Hills 90210. And Boone County High School was nothing like Beverly Hills 90210.
That might be good.
Yeah.
So, Tika, your story is a little different. You're from Bhutan, right?
My parents were. Born and raised in refugee camp.
Okay. And why did – there are a lot of Bhutanese refugees in the United States. One of the agencies, I think the agency that has the contract to resettle refugees in our region is Catholic Charities. And with the State Department, they are assigned – different agencies are assigned which countries they will receive refugees from. Bhutan is one of the ones. Mm-hmm. And consequently, there's been a pretty consistent flow of people from Bhutan. Why did you end up a refugee? What was it in Bhutan that made life impossible for you?
It was actually my parents who had to go through the process. Around 1990, they had a civil revolution which was between Bhutanese and Nepalese Bhutanese, who were in past taken by the original Bhutanese from Nepal to work and build the country what it is right now. Over the time, they had conflicts about religion, nationality, and my parents were tortured by the government, Bhutanese government, so they could no longer take it. They were fled to Nepal in 1991, and I was born in refugee camp. I never lived in Bhutan.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you were born in the camp, though.
Camp in Nepal, yeah.
And they were fleeing Bhutan.
Mm-hmm.
And how long were you in the camp before you somehow made it to, and there might have been intervening countries here, before you made it to the United States?
I was born and raised in Nepal in the camp. It was after 15 years I was born.
15 so, years mm-hmm, in the camp.
My parents lived in camp for 18 years.
And why was it that they finally, after 18 years, were able to come to the United States?
They were never offered, or they didn't really have any options to go anywhere else. We were kept in a camp where the houses were built with bamboo and plastic, and we had a fence around the camp, and we were never allowed to leave the camp. Otherwise, they would stop giving you the basic needs were provided by UNHCR and other nonprofit organizations. And so I had never left the camp before I moved to the United States.
You had never left the refugee camp.
I did go around the villages whenever I could, but I never had flew anywhere or technically never left the camp or the village area that was around the camp.
So you ended up coming to Cincinnati directly?
Chicago.
You came to Chicago.
Yes.
And then why did you end up in Cincinnati?
We lived in Chicago for 4 years. One of my little brother had health problem. He was going through first stage of cancer, and my mom had to drive back and forth to Cincinnati Children. So we decided to move to Cincinnati.
So Children's Hospital
yes.
becomes a pretty important place.
It sure is, yeah. So, we're really thankful for Children's Hospital.
So, Robin, how common are these two stories that we have just heard when Refugee Connect works with refugees? These are people from two different places, very different places, really. But how common are the threads that we have just heard?
The threads are, unfortunately, very common. Folks, on average, are waiting in a refugee camp for upwards of 17 years. It takes 2 to 4 years to process somebody's refugee status to come to the United States after they've been designated as a refugee by the United Nations. And so we're seeing folks coming from conflicts, like more common ones that people are aware of, like Rwanda, coming today when that conflict, that genocide happened many, many years ago. So there's quite a delay, and there's also quite many concerns around basic needs being met, access to education, people really being able to experience life and to be able to contribute to society. So only 1% actually are able to ever make it to the United States through the refugee resettlement process.
Tika, you said you were 15 when you left the camp, so essentially getting here when you're 15, right? 15 or 16.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So what did you do? Where did you end up? Well, you went to Chicago.
Right.
Did you go – had you had an education? Could you get into the American school and actually function, or what did it take?
You may need to define function, actually function. I was able to go to high school in Chicago. It was a process. It took me a few years to get used to it, and by the time I was actually used to it, it was time for me to graduate from high school. I did have prior education. It was very limited in refugee camp, which were taught by very underqualified people. We did not have any, we did have little bit of supplies, but it was very limited. Like I said, mm-hmm. we didn't even have decks and chairs. We had to sit on the floor and we had to use whatever we had at the time. It was really hard for me to adjust the lifestyle.
Mirsada, you started at Boone County High School.
Yes.
Then went to NKU.
That's correct.
And I've seen a little bit of a background on you. You truly excelled at NKU in marketing, statistical analysis, and whatever. So how much did it take for you to get comfortable with the language, with the culture, so that you could get to a point where you felt like you could really accomplish something and claim it as your own?
Yeah, very good question. From a language standpoint, that's honestly the easiest thing to learn and just be able to function.
I can tell you right now, not for old people. Go ahead. Learning another language.
Fair enough. But I actually spent 6 months in intense ESL, English as a Second Language classes when I first arrived at 16. And I honestly never got adjusted, just similar to Tika's story. I never got adjusted to high school. And it was torturous day in and day out, honestly. It was lots
torturous.
Of bullying. And
okay.
And made fun of. You're just isolated. You're alone. Just a very, very lonely experience.
Was there anyone else in your class, in your school from Bosnia? Were there other refugees?
Yeah, there were actually a couple of fellow Bosnians there as well. However, they had come here a little bit before I did, so they had already kind of established for themselves a path that, as you can imagine, in high school, it's very important who you know and who you associate with. And so it was almost a bit risky to associate with me at times because I was a complete outsider coming in at that junior level and not speaking the language or knowing anything really about the culture.
High school is terrible.
High school was tough. I always tell people I've been through war, but honestly, high school in some ways felt worse than that. And it wasn't honestly until NKU that I started to really just blossom almost, and NKU was perfect. I still hold NKU near and dear to my heart. It was the perfect campus for me because it was small enough for me to not get lost and have that personal interaction with the professors and get the help that I was needed.
You were awarded some sort of an award, Young Researcher of the Decade?
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive. I'd
yes.
say you broke through and blossomed at NKU. Tika, what's your situation right now?
I'm currently a student at University of Cincinnati and in training with Refugee Connect. My goal is to work for one of the non-profit organizations. Currently, as I intern through Refugee Connect, I help students at Aiken High School, the refugee students, to de-isolate like you said, it really was a rough patch for me getting out of high school. I probably was bullied, but I didn't even realize I was bullied until now. So I helped them with their academically as well as emotionally. We share our stories, and I'm currently starting a Saturday mentorship program. Myself and Robin is helping me get the volunteers from UC so we can go through the process and start continuing the program. So that's what is up with me.
What is your major?
I went to school for accounting for the first 2 years, and I started working as a assistant accounting at a private business, and I did not like it. I didn't like the fact that I had to stay in a cubicle the whole day and just look at the computer. So I switched my major to social work. My ultimate goal is to be a counselor. So I'm planning on going to master's schools for counseling.
So people-centered.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Robin, with Refugee Connect, do you marshal volunteers who can help refugees make this transition
to volunteer hours just in 2017? And a big piece of what we do is trainings of nonprofits, businesses, and volunteers to connect them to meaningful opportunities to empower refugee communities. And we've trained over 800 of these professionals, volunteers, and community members through our speaker series, our refugee simulations, and our ambassador volunteer network. So folks can learn more about how to get involved by going to our website, www.refugeeconnect.org. There's opportunities to mentor, to teach ESL, to really build community, to stand side by side with folks and help them find home in our great community, Cincinnati.
I would like to ask both of Mirsada and Tika, what's it feel like right now, given some of the rhetoric that's out there in American politics about people moving here, and the general term is immigrant. That's why I tried to establish refugee as a particular special focus here. But how does it feel right now? How does America feel in terms of, and not maybe just the two of you, you've had enough time that you're actually coming to grips with all of this and becoming American. But what you see with newer refugees coming, how's that environment affecting us?
Yeah. I'll answer first.
You can go ahead. Yeah.
Honestly, given the rhetoric that was going on leading up to the 2016 election even, that is honestly what got me involved in the first place with Refugee Connect. It was my call to action because even though it doesn't personally affect me anymore, I am an American citizen right now. The storylines that were being told and some of the language that is used really touched me personally. And it was taking me back to those times when I was a refugee, when I needed help. And it did not feel good, quite frankly. And the only way that I saw an opportunity for me to do something about it was to get involved myself. And that is what I did. And I just happened to Google a refugee nonprofit in Cincinnati. I came across Robin and Refugee Connect, and that's how I got involved.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I did, finding Robin. For me, it's really overwhelming. Even after being a citizen here,
a citizen now?
Now, yes. Mm-hmm. I almost did not felt welcome or part of the country when the words were used, certain words were used by the people in power. It's scary. I still have family who has not been citizen yet. I still have few people I know or some relatives back home who are trying to come to the United States. And it just scares me.
How have your parents, now you both came when you were young, relatively speaking, You've been able to adapt amazingly well, language-wise and everything else. How have your parents done?
Yeah, so I came here with my mom. I'm an only child, and yes, my father was actually killed in the concentration camp. But my mom had very little window of time to just learn the language and actually begin work and start to provide for our family, because we received very limited assistance from the U.S. government, which we're still very thankful for. But aside from that initial couple months of learning English, she was right away thrown into the workforce. And my mom is a very hard worker, and I think that's where she finds her drive, is just having that job and having that responsibility is what keeps her going. She's actually surrounded by quite a few, you can call it immigrants, people from other places, because she works in the blue-collar environment. But she has definitely, you know, she's still a lot more connected to the community that we're from. Okay. Versus being connected to the American society. But she's doing well.
Which is not an atypical story in the history of immigration to the United States. I almost out of time. I just want to make sure that people know, when you go to the website of RefugeeConnect.org, you'll find a speaker series that people from different areas that have come as refugees to Cincinnati. Bhutan will be focused on June the 20th at the National Underground Railroad Freedom Center, and we will be bringing in an exhibit about Bhutanese refugees in Ohio that opens June 15th. Thank you very much. I want to thank all of my guests. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Producer for today's show, Pete Reitmeier. Assistant producer, Selena Reeder. Technical director, Josh Elstro. Our archives for our programs are available on the website, wvxu.org. I'm Dan Hurley. Stay tuned, 91.7, right for Here and Now, coming up next.